Here we are, hour number three. We are going to survey some things tonight and talk about a new subject that probably is going to impact most of you out there who have extended families, if it hasn't already. And that's what to do with our senior family members. Grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa, even in some cases, mom or dad. Strokes can hit people anytime, anywhere, and they do. We're going to talk about that tonight and how to deal with it. And the angle of the whole story is it ain't easy to do unless that individual accepts the bioweapon injection. So we'll go through that with some people who are facing that very same issue right now. All right, my partner Erica is standing by. Are you there, Erica?
Good evening.
Is it?
So far.
Okay, good answer. All right. You're outside putting the trash out, I understand.
It is trash night, yes.
Now, how did I know that? All right. With respect to people becoming sick in their later years, needing care, as I mentioned, I hope you heard part of that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, just in a few minutes with some special guests, including Nurse Ann, who is back, and some guy she met somewhere. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. All right. What I want to do to start out with is, just for fun, where are we now in terms of last time we were on? Things continue to increase across the board. They're not receding. They are not dissipating. Things are not going away. I see even less traffic on the roads in this small town. And some of you say, oh, no, the rush hour traffic is terrible, just like always. And it may be in some areas. But I'll be willing to bet that in most small to medium towns, the visual traffic is less. And I mean that. And I think the reason is obvious, and we've said it before, I'll say it again. These people have been injected, and they at the least don't feel good. And how many times have we heard that written and spoken about? Too many to count. So where are we? Let's just have fun here. It's the month of May. Let's go back a couple months. What's changed? What's new? Anything except the fact that they're moving further away from claiming that COVID is killing people. They're now switching over to their plausible deniability fact, their fact that they can use it, and they're doing it. And that's, oh, no, he died of cancer. She died of a blood clot. She died of a sudden illness, whatever. So where are we going with this thing? Where are they steering it right now? What's your best guess?
Oh, I think they're trying to hide it. I mean, that's, I think, the general perception in at least these social media groups, support groups that I've been watching. Those people seeking help for their injuries stemming from this injection, they're growing by the day. They're not getting any help or much help from the conventional medical establishment. I mean, these people are effectively crippled, many of them. And it ranges from neurological issues to cardiac issues. Some people have gone blind. And then there's people having clots and strokes, and the really hideous ones, the CJD, which seems
this is increasing, is it not? Do you believe?
Everything, all of these neurological things, mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, that article from, was it Exposé?
Yeah.
On the decline in people's or the vaxxed immune systems shows a very nice graph of how some of these illnesses or degenerative conditions have spiked in the past year in
right.
lockstep with these injections.
Seems to be about 12 months, doesn't it, that most people who get a real injection, not a saline placebo, but the real shot, seems to be about 10 to 12 months and they begin to manifest unmistakable bad things.
Yeah, I think, you know, all in the background, they're not feeling well. Something's off. They can't really put their finger on it. And then some people think they're out of the woods, and they get the booster, and, you know, within a couple of weeks, they're really having life-threatening problems.
You know what the giveaway was? When they started to say, you can mix and match these vaccines. You can get Moderna and take an AstraZeneca. And then when they started talking about boosters, choose your weapon, whatever you want. That's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
No three vaccines or four vaccines have ever been built to be compatible on the drawing board with the
others.
There's
no testing. No.
None.
There was really no testing anyway. I think these trials, these so-called clinical trials, were all a sham.
No, criminal trials is what they were.
No, they should have been.
Yeah.
I mean, you just know from the shoddy data and the rigged statistics, it was a show, nothing but a show. And people, a lot of people just, you know, didn't question it. They wanted that vaccine, and there's still people holding out for Novavax, thinking that that's somehow better.
Before we get to Novavax, there are still people getting the shots.
Yes.
They're still rolling up their sleeves all the time, every day. They haven't learned. The internet, the alt news, hasn't gotten through to them. Oh, they may have seen it, but they're not willing to turn their backs on the government and the medical profession. They can't believe that these doctors and whomever would harm them. They don't understand that do no harm is out the door now. It's gone.
Well, the conventional allopathic medical sector is still touting these things as lifesavers, that they reduce hospitalizations and deaths from COVID.
Nothing.
The people that are saying that, some of these people, I think, genuinely believe that. The very people that are saying it actually believe it. They've succumbed to their own propaganda.
I'm sure some do, but when they had to make professional medical and health people, had to make their decision based on a mandate, do they take the shot or do they quit or get fired and save their lives? Two-thirds of them, approximately, stayed on and took the damn shot. That just boggles my mind.
I think they were believers, and they may still be believers in big pharma and in these injections, the chemical cure, so-called. And if you listen to some of the mainstream media, they're still touting how many people are still dying from COVID. So even though it's just in the background now, there's that subliminal message that, oh boy, it's still out there. I better get a booster.
In point of fact, people are dying from dozens of complications and issues. Just like Dr. Russell Blaylock said, we're going to see diseases we don't even have names for. And he's right. We have literally a world now coming down with AIDS. Not HIV, AIDS, AIDS. Did you get the picture I sent you of the HIV test?
No.
Okay, I've got to find that. I forget who sent it to me. I'll find it. And I'll put it up on the homepage so you all get to see it. They're now beginning to push harder for people to get HIV tests. It's beginning to roll out just like we predicted it would months ago, right here. They're rolling it out. Get that test. You want to be sure, and I'll find it. I thought I'd send it for sure. Okay. You mentioned Novavax. Novavax is coming up for approval, EUA approval, in a few weeks, in June.
Not approval, authorization. Emergency use authorization. All this stuff is
EUA.
EUA, yes.
Correct. Well, I mentioned EUA. I got that part
right.
Which
means there's no liability.
That means they're off the hook. Sure.
Yep.
No problem. Okay. I, in the beginning, said that they are going to give it EUA, and I think that's pretty clear now. Why? Because there's money. Did Big Al Bourla at Pfizer get pissed off about this, losing clients to another company's product? Maybe. Maybe they made a deal with him. Well, we'll give you 2% gross. Well, we'll give you 5%. Whatever. Maybe there was a deal made. I am going to bet that they will absolutely give EUA to Novavax. And Novavax, remember, doesn't play games. It cuts right to the chase. Tell them what Novavax is again, in case they're new to the program.
Well, Novavax is a protein subunit vaccine. It's just the spike protein, and they grow it in insect cells. And then they have these cells produce the protein, and they purify the protein out to the best of their ability. There will be invariably pieces of insect genetic material in this. That's unavoidable. But just a little, so don't worry. And it's the full-length spike protein put onto or complexed with a synthetic nanoparticle known as Matrix M. Mm-hmm. And there's approximately 14 spikes per particle. And I think we figured out, based on the molecular weight of a spike protein and the number of micrograms in a dose, there's approximately 3.8 trillion spike proteins in a single dose. Now, they
roll
want you to believe
sleeves.
That it's going to stay at the site of the injection, but I think we already have evidence that it's going systemic, just like the other injections go systemic. And people are reporting similar adverse reactions, like the ones with the mRNA and the adenovirus. They're having headaches, chest pain, numbness and tingling in their extremities, gastrointestinal issues. The only thing I haven't heard, and I was trying to verify if there had been any reports of clotting, and so far I haven't seen any. But I would
We're
be surprised if it wasn't really happening. I mean, sometimes that can be, you know, you don't actually know you're clotting until you go to try to draw your blood, or you have a D-dimer test,
well,
or something catastrophic happens.
If these spike proteins are not microclotting at the very least, how the hell do we explain that? Of course they are.
I would suspect that they are. The concerning thing, though, is that this is the original, the spike protein from the original Wuhan strain, which is known to have prion binding sites on it, prion generating sites. So when this stuff gets into your body, whatever protein it may come into contact with will cause it to misfold. And we know the spike does cross the blood-brain barrier, so if you get these spikes in your brain, you can anticipate some sort of either prion disease, spongiform encephalopathy at some point, or an amyloid deposit disease like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or ALS. And nevertheless, this doesn't seem to dissuade people because they're being told that the spike protein is inert. Benign.
This is crazy. And just for fun, remember the mRNA and the Moderna literally are putting things into your body to cause the creation, construction of spike proteins. But now you can get the Novavax and cut out the middleman. Go right to the punchline. 3 trillion plus, it's our best guesstimate, in one injection of just raw combative spike protein, which Dr. Chetty of South Africa said is the most toxic, poisonous thing mankind has ever created. You feeling lucky out there, you folks who want to get this Novavax? We urge you not to. We urge you, obviously, not to get any shots. This is crazy, and it's not slowing down. I am so shocked at the stupidity. No, I don't want to say stupid. The uninformed status of the masses of people. They just, even after all this time, they still haven't figured it out. And then, of course, we have denial. There's a lot of that, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a real eye-opener to see that level of, I guess, ignorance.
Well, being polite, yeah. They're just ignorant. Yes, but they... See, the sad thing is that they've had a chance to look at the other side of the street, and it hasn't stuck. They haven't gone
over
there.
No, the logic is just... It's gone. I mean, this virus now has been around for at least 2 years. You would think if they've survived this long and they haven't died from it, what do you need a vaccine for? I mean, apparently everybody has had this, or just about everybody has had it or been exposed
to it by now. It's 99.997. Come on. We all know the numbers by now. There's no reason for a vaccine. There's no reason for this whole industry. None. Which produces nothing but injuries in most people, or death. We've seen horrific things. And we're going, you better get used to it. It's not going to go away. It's not going to stop. Very sad to say.
No, and this childhood hepatitis outbreak is growing by the day exponentially. These cases are cropping up all over the place. So this is likely just the tip of the iceberg that we're seeing. It's a little over 200 as of today. 228, I think, was the number I saw.
Right.
But the thing is, hepatitis is not a reportable disease, so nobody was really paying much attention to it. But now...
Or it could be several thousand now easily. We don't know.
Yeah, and they're still, they still don't know what's causing it. It appears to be... People are conjecturing that it's probably the result of these children, babies, being spiked. There was a report that these younger toddlers were breastfed by women who had received the vax, but that's now being disputed. It probably was not an accurate statement. It could just be that these babies, toddlers, are in the vicinity spending time with people who have been vaxxed, and this is the consequence. Their livers are taking a hit.
We think that shedding or horizontal transmission is probably the most important, well, there's too many, but it's one of the most important parts of this whole thing. People don't understand that they cannot sit in an office all day with vaxxed people if they're not vaxxed. And for the vaxxed to sit in an office with the unvaxxed, who are still normal physiologically and immunologically, they're running a great risk of getting sick. Okay? So, no. And we're not going to go into the mask thing again. You do what you want. We've made ourselves clear on that. But this is a bad situation. Now, I'm going to go back to something that has not been demonstrated as of this moment, but it was talked about by Anthony Patch in 2014, 8 years ago. Now, just listen to these two sentences. This is important. He was somehow in, what would you call him? He's not a prophet. He was forecasting what was coming. It's like he knew.
Seer.
Could be. I think he knew what was coming. And he wrote, the insidious part of this is that once a person is injected, almost immediately, all caps, immediately, their DNA undergoes transformation. Almost immediately, they lose all awareness of the fact that they have lost their independence, their ability to think on their own, to make decisions on their own, and to affect them on a moral level, their moral independence, their beliefs, religious, moral, ethical, legal, all of those go away. Now, I don't want you to sit back there and say, I've got two shots and I still have my morality and I still think, right? I still know who I am. Well, that's probably true in many cases. But your DNA is no longer the same. You are different. Anthony Patch knew. And if he was even half right on this, we'd know why people are no longer able to think. They're just not thinking. They've lost it. Somehow this thing has neutralized thought in the sense that we're familiar with it. It's a strange case. Strange.
Well, these injections are so unnatural. You know, injecting or overriding your own DNA with this synthetic stuff that doesn't even occur naturally in nature. I mean, the nucleotides are synthetic. They've been chemically modified. They don't break down. And the protein that they are designed to code for is not natural. So your body's being assaulted on a genetic level like nothing before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the human being was not designed to endure that type of assault.
No. All right. We're going to talk about our senior citizens now, our family members, our extended family, our grandparents and so forth. What happens to them? Depending on their VAC status, largely different outcomes may well happen. And some of you listening probably are already involved with this. But we've got back with us tonight, Nurse Ann. Are you there, Nurse Ann?
How are you?
Hi, we're still here, thank you. It's good to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked up this guy on the way home tonight. Pilot Mike is his name, is that it?
That's correct.
Pilot Mike,
hello,
are you
Jeff.
There?
I'm here, Jeff. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you both for being here. Now, they have a story to tell, and it involves Pilot Mike's mother. Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell us the beginning of the story, at least.
Sure. Well, Jeff, about 4 weeks ago, my mom had a stroke. 1 year prior, she had a double stroke on her medial cerebral arteries, one on each side, and she survived.
Okay, vaxxed or unvaxxed,
well.
Mike? Vaxxed or unvaxxed? Excuse me.
Unvaxxed.
Okay.
My mom's 87 years old. She's always been in good health. She ate pretty well. She never smoked, rarely ever drank. She exercised. She was an entertainer. She was a vibrant, fun woman. And then going on, it'll be 4 weeks this Saturday, she had a third stroke. I was called by the doctors at the ER. She was taken to the emergency room by ambulance. Now, my mom, who's 87, she has a live-in boyfriend. She's a wild little woman. But he called the ambulance. She was relatively unresponsive. I get the phone call, and they said, hey, we have to do an embolectomy, which is where they insert a catheter through one of the arms and clear the artery out. What they found was her left carotid artery was blocked, and they managed to clear the block. But part of the process, she had to go on life support. They had to intubate her, put her on a ventilator to do the procedure. She was unable to come off the ventilator, and she was in ICU for 2 weeks. About 2.5 weeks, actually. And now, one of the things that people need to know, they're giving all of these people COVID tests. Now, I get the call from the physician, and he says, and your mom is COVID positive. I said, I think that might take a back seat in the priority of emergencies here. You know, you have my permission for the embolectomy. What do I care about COVID at this moment for? We have bigger fish to fry. Which kept me out of the hospital from seeing her for a 10-day quarantine period. So I had no clue what was going on with my mom up in the hospital. That's the first part of the medical tyranny that we're under now. The next part is she's out of the ICU. She's in a regular room. They're not really rehabilitating her because now they've determined, one, they're short-staffed, so they're not working with our loved ones like they should be. And they've also determined that she's had too much stroke damage, and she has. Her right side is completely paralyzed, and her left side has very little functional use now. So she's essentially an invalid.
I'm very sorry
to
hear that.
Thank you, thank you. But you still have to, you know, try and rehabilitate. It's a stroke. She came back from the last one, but they're not living up to that end. But they dropped it on me yesterday. She needs long-term care. She's never going back into her home again. She can no longer live independent. She can't stand all of the above. And I said, all right, well, what can we do? Well, the choice was either we now take care of her full-time ourselves, or we put her in a home, which, you know, that's the choice for anybody. But in order to put her in a home where she has the proper 24/7 care, she has to be vaxxed. At least where we live in the lovely People's Republic of New York, you know, under this totalitarian tyrant, Kathy Hochul, who picked up where, you know, the idiot Cuomo left off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We went from bad to worse, right? We went from the frying pan into the fire, and they cranked the heat up. You know, now all people going into the nursing homes have to be vaccinated. There's no choice. And they've also dropped rules in. If you go to visit your loved one, you also have to have a negative COVID test within 24 hours of visit.
That means
so you're being kept away.
That means a bottle brush up the nose.
Exactly.
A test.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
This is the tyranny we're up against.
Yeah. Now let me go back, and I'm going to turn this over to Erica in just a moment. When they told you she came back positive for COVID, how do you know that for a fact, really?
Exactly.
And what did they test her with? A test that still doesn't work? Probably.
Probably.
There's no other way. Erica, go ahead.
That jives with some of the reports I'm reading in a couple of the practitioners groups. These are medical doctors that are working, I guess, in outpatient clinics, and they do get to see their fair share of people with genuine COVID. They've got the clotting issues and the breathing issues. But one was reporting today that they had a patient go in for a procedure, and on the operating table, they gave them a PCR test, and what do you know, it came back positive. So they canceled the surgery and sent the person home for 10 days just based on this one test. And I think the person took it upon themselves to go do a rapid test on their own, and every time they did it, it was negative.
Right.
So they rescheduled the surgery, and I guess when the person is due to go back in 10 days, they're not going to retest. So they're still doing the same old shenanigans, and then this practitioner was asking, are the hospitals still compensating for positive COVID diagnoses? And apparently some are.
Well, the funny thing in this situation was when they came back and told me, you know, your mom had tested positive for COVID, you know, then she got through the procedure, she was still on the ventilator. I said, well, how about giving her a second test and let's see if it comes back negative? The response I received was, yeah, we could give her a second test, and it may come back negative, but she already tested positive once. So she's under quarantine. You can't come up. And I thought, and of course I had to vocalize, and I said, well, she is on a ventilator and didn't come off it. Are you guys getting $39,000 for her to stay on this? And who's going to pay
that
bill?
What'd they say? Anything? Did they even know what you were talking about?
I don't think they knew what I was talking about. There was dead silence on the other end.
Uh-huh.
Now it's just the opposite, the extreme. Your mom needs long-term care. She needs 24-hour care, 24/7. And she now has to be vaccinated if you want her to be placed in any home.
All right.
So the funny thing is she's not vaccinated and she's here and nobody's complaining.
All right. Let's go over to Nurse Ann. Great to hear you again, Nurse Ann. Thank you for being here. This story that we've just heard is something that I think many Americans are going to have to be able to deal with one way or the other. Now, the option is to either bring that lady home and give her 24-hour care. She can't move. She is pretty well done as far as getting up and being able to move around. Yeah. So what does that mean for someone like you two giving home care for someone who has been so devastated with strokes? What kind of work do you have to do?
Well, in the medical world, we would say she's complete care, which means everything that you do for to function as daily as a human being, from getting out of bed in the morning to brushing your teeth to showering and dressing yourself to fixing your meals and eating and going to the bathroom. All of those things that we take so for granted, she can no longer do. So unless somebody is physically there to help her all the time, which 24/7, there is no way that she will be able to get the care she needs.
And the reason that she cannot go into a proper care facility with potentially some meaningful physical therapy and rehabilitation is because she won't take this kill shot. And that applies probably from coast to coast in this country. This is, to me, so disgusting. I can't even begin to process it. To do that kind of work is 24 hours a day. How are families supposed to handle something like this if they cannot get their loved one into a home? How are they going to do it?
Yeah.
I don't understand
it. It becomes not only a mental burden, a physical burden, and a financial burden on the family. And that's assuming you have enough family around to help. If you have enough family around to help, it requires you bringing in outside help, skilled nursing care, which is costly, very costly. It's not, Medicare does not cover that, those costs. It falls on the burden of the family. And ultimately what happens is usually if the patient owns a home, the first thing to go is the family home. You sell the home to provide the care because the care gets so expensive. And the thing about this scenario is that she could live in this situation for months to maybe a couple of years, you know, providing the proper care, but she'd still be very debilitated.
What a dilemma, Erica, for America's families who are in this situation where they have chosen or their loved ones have chosen not to get injected. This is not what modern medicine, compassionate medicine, is supposed to be all about.
Well, this is the beginning of the end. I mean, they are withdrawing, you know, basic services for people in need.
Right.
There's probably thousands, if not millions, of people facing the same type of scenario. Probably most will cave and just get the shot, which, you know, is just going to accelerate their demise, which is the whole intention of this. It was never about health.
No.
Well, we got 80 million Americans, approximately, who have said no, and let's assume we have 350 million in the country. That's a lot of people who have taken the shot. So we have to somehow come up with, I don't know how we're going to do it. Are there any of these care homes, Nurse Ann, that will accept people who have not been vaxxed?
Well, Alec Mike had a discussion with the social worker. And to our knowledge, there was only one.
An hour and a half away from us.
Yeah.
And it was a 7-month wait for the last patient they placed.
Well, that
seven
won't
months.
Work.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No.
This is what people are up against, because everybody wants to take care of their loved ones. And it's very noble to say, yes, I'll move her into my home, or we'll take care of her or him at their home, and we'll go 24/7. But people are working. People have their lives. And the other thing is I'm fortunate with my beautiful half here, Nurse Ann, who is a trained and skilled professional, and she knows what she's doing. And I have some experience when I took care of my grandfather who had MS. And I know how to move a patient and so on and so forth. But you throw people who have no train, they'll train you maybe for an hour or two in the hospital and say, good luck. And mm-hmm. so now you run the risk of having that person fall, injure that person. Who knows? If you don't have any of the necessary training that you should have, and there's no support, a lot of things can go wrong. And this is what they're throwing people into. All over a vaccine that isn't a vaccine, that doesn't protect against anything, doesn't prevent the spread of whatever it is, and is just there to cause more fear and panic, and the sheeple run with the crowd and say, line me up and shoot them up. And I know there's a lot of people who'd say, hey, Mike, just shoot your mother up and get her the proper care. Well, the answer is no, I can't do that in good conscience. The next stroke would definitely kill her.
Well, not to mention the fact that if you were to do that or take that route, all of a sudden she's a spreader, a shedder. And you're around, and the first 2 weeks, isn't it right, Erica? The first 2 weeks, usually the most intense shedding, some people say?
Yeah. The first 5 days, and then it probably tapers to some extent after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it varies. It can vary, you know, how well people are transfected with the stuff and whether or not they're prolific producers of proteins. I don't know if elderly people that are, you know, severely compromised like that would necessarily produce a lot of spike protein. But whereas, you know, you look at the young boys that are getting the myocarditis, I mean, they're in a state of growth and they're very prolific producers of protein. But whatever, it's poison. It's killing people. And here you have somebody that's needs, you know, care and rehabilitation, and you're going to give her something that's no.
All right, here's a family. One more thing, Mike. Here's a family. They're part of the 80 million who have not gotten the shot. They will not take the shot, and they're stuck with a situation like this. And they have to bring grandma home. Okay? And there are kids in the house still. What, teenagers, 8, 10 years old? I don't know. You never know. But this is a family of, say, five people, and they have to bring grandma home. Now, Anne, the idea of having to feed somebody 3-4 times a day, the hygiene aspect of it, the tragedy of seeing someone who can't move anymore, can't walk around children, I can't even imagine the stress this would put on a family.
Yeah, I would agree. It's physically and mentally and emotionally draining. And we've seen it a lot with patients who go into, like, hospice care and may live past the 2 weeks, because that typically, they say when they go to hospice care, they only live about 2 weeks. But the patients who live past those 2 weeks, it becomes I don't mean it in a negative way. I just mean it's very hard on that family. And I know you commit to it, but it really puts a lot of family members to the test, and it takes a lot of resilience. In a case like this situation, it requires 24 hours, 7 days a week. Nobody's getting a break here. Nobody. It's not like a hospital system where there's a shift change and the next shift comes in. That's it. You're it. This is what Medicare will provide. They'll give you the equipment. They'll give you the hospital equipment, the bed, the Hoyer lift, whatever you need. But you're on your own when it comes to providing the care. And you have to figure out how those funds are going to be raised to make that happen. And families will go broke over this, let me tell you. So what Klaus Schwab said isn't far from the truth.
Sadly agree. Mike, this is a very private issue, but at this point in time, you've made your options, yours and Nurse Anne's options, very clear. You can wait 9 months and maybe try and get her into that one place an hour and a half away. You can get her shot up, then you can get her in a home, or you can bring her home.
There are no good options because Medicaid and my mother's insurance from when my father, he retired from General Motors, she still has his insurance. It doesn't cover things completely. There's still going to be other skilled nurses needed and so mm-hmm. on.
Right.
So a lot of this comes out of your own pocket. It's exceptionally expensive.
Yes. And how does a family provide rehab to try to rehab somebody like that? How do they do that? Where's the training?
I fly airplanes and Anne's a nurse. She's not a physical therapist, and neither am I. What are you going to do, watch a bunch of YouTube videos on how to be a physical therapist? And this is what people are up against. And the other thing, too, Jeff, is the system is broken. The unit that my mother is in right now is staffed entirely by travel nurses. The only staff nurse is the nurse manager. Every single nurse on that floor is a traveler. They have bankrupted and totally destroyed our healthcare system, and people should be in the streets marching. But what are they doing? They're worried about continuing abortion. They're worried about who's winning the next football game, and they're worried about sending money to the Ukraine that's deserving what it gets. That's what we're up to right now. The dumb American is not thinking, no more critical thinking. People should be protesting in the streets over what has been done to their medical care system.
Right.
It's sickening. It's sickening.
It is, truly. Erica, this kind of dilemma, we don't hear much about. Are you seeing anything in the social media forums and platforms that you monitor about these kinds of situations? Older people and their care?
Not per se, but I don't know that I would, given the types of groups that I'm in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these are people that have been directly injured. They're not necessarily caregivers for someone else. But I will say that we sort of predicted this several months ago, that when the injuries from these vacs were going to start to manifest in the form of strokes and clots and neurological issues, we knew of the coming healthcare crisis, and we were predicting that there were going to be people just like Mike's mother who require care, but there's no one to care for them.
No.
And I think we're going to have waves of people like this.
Waves. Lots.
There's also, Jeff, real quick, there's also a shortage for long-term care facilities. There's a shortage of beds because of all of these people who are elderly, who are suffering strokes and brain bleeds and everything that Ann saw in the ICU.
Right.
People, there are a few people who are surviving, but they're debilitated from the strokes from taking these vaccines or jabs, whatever you want to call them, the kill shot. They're filling these places up, and there's a shortage of beds.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, we're almost out of time. Ann, thank you. It's really great to talk to you again. Thank you very much for being here tonight and sharing.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Okay. And Mike?
Yeah, I want to say my heart's with you. Yeah, this is a really tough, tough situation to be in. And I think we're all going to be in that situation at some point with somebody we know or love. Or there's no getting away from it now.
They need to be aware of the issues that approach them when this happens, and I pray for all out there that doesn't happen to them, and just be prepared for a battle on your hands. That's really what it is.
All right. Mike, thank you. God bless both
thank
of you.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
And we'll talk again. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
No. Hold on, Erica.
We're
just saying good night to our friends there. We've got about 80 million Americans who have stood firmly against this outrageous effort to kill people. That's the only way I can phrase it. It's what it is.
Oh, it's deliberate. It's deliberate. It's premeditated.
Yeah. Now, we have just gotten into this. We're just beginning to see what we talked about a year ago. The idea that the immune system was no longer going to function normally. We didn't call it AIDS back then, but we're calling it AIDS now. AIDS is spreading. Non-HIV AIDS, and I will find that picture for you. They are talking more and more about, get your HIV test. They're going to try to blame this acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Talk about a pandemic. That's everybody who's gotten a shot. Okay? That's your pandemic. That's the new one. So as far as laying this off on HIV, forget it. It's from the shot. And you are wide open. Remember, I'll repeat the German test. Everybody they tested that had two shots in this one particular test had only 12% of their immune systems left. And we don't know what happened week two, three after that. But the immune system goes, and the door is open. This is going to be a free-for-all of deadly disease, which usually shouldn't be deadly at all. But it will be with no immune response.
Yeah, I'll call attention to that article again. It was dated May 8th from the expose. That really went into great detail about what the diseases they're seeing, the fungal infections, these various opportunistic infections. Really good compilation of data, summarizes what's going on.
And they're getting
bad. And it's from the shot.
Yeah. Send me that article again, if you would. I'll repost it.
It is on the right-hand side in the archives.
Okay. Good.
Under our names.
All right.
But yeah, May 8th was the date. It was published in the expose.
Okay. Excellent. Now, we just have a minute or two left. The idea of trying to stay healthy in the face of having been vaxxed, what would you say to that? Just in general terms. Are you going to be able to take an alfalfa bath and get over this? Are you going to be able to eat a diet rich in vitamin C and get over this? No, it's not. This is a kill shot. It's a bioweapon. It is not forgiving. There's no mercy. And if you've gotten injured, how many people do you know about or have read about who have gotten severely injured and who have gotten better?
Not that many. They appear to be in the minority, and, you know, better, I think, is sort of
relative
a subjective.
Yeah,
because you don't know. It usually isn't one injury. You know, maybe one symptom that's outwardly apparent, but oftentimes there's other things going on, whether they're apparent or not apparent, and only time will tell.
Right. Let's mention one more time about Paxlovid, the two pill a day from Pfizer, why it doesn't work with vaxxed people. Very simple. Go ahead.
So this is an antiviral two-pill combination, and they're discovering now that in the vaxxed, who they all seem to come down with COVID, you know, the very disease that these vaccines were supposedly supposed to protect them against, turn up with COVID, and they prescribe them Paxlovid for, I believe it's 5 days. And some people can't even tolerate the side effects, you know, nausea being one of them, diarrhea. They're very unpleasant side effects. But invariably, in the vaxxed people, the infection comes back. So they can't knock down at least the symptoms of the infection with this five-day regimen. So they're prescribing another 5 days on top of that. But I think the simple answer here is that they don't have an immune system to overcome the infection.
Nope. All right. Well, what we've tried to do tonight is, again, as we always do, is put a human face on this, not just report straight facts. And I think what you heard from Mike and Nurse Ann, some of you already are dealing with. But if you live alone, for example, and you have a debilitating illness, who's going to take care of you? You've got to think about these things. They're very difficult dilemmas and not pleasant. All right. Final word from you? Anything?
No, that's very sobering. But again, I just recall when we were talking about this, it was probably last winter, last fall, that we're going to be faced with this sort of scenario. It's predictable.
Yeah. Lots of it. Okay. Thanks, Erica. Have a good night.
My pleasure, Jeff. Okay. Have a good evening. Good night, everyone.
All right. We will say good night and be back with you tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. I hope we were helpful. Talk soon.